It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up on today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from a children's author who wrote his first book at the age of 85. But first, over the weekend, the country lost one of its most recognizable advocates for civil rights. Julian Bond was active in the civil rights movement from his teen years until his death at the age of 75. He not only participated in many iconic events and key organizations, but was also a leader in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, the NAACP, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Bond was familiar to many Wisconsin residents not just because of his national profile, but because he was a frequent visitor to the state. In fact, he stopped by Madison's Edgewich College last March and issued and addressed the issue of police shootings of black men. Joining us to talk about Julian Bond's legacy is Greg Jones. He's the president of the Dane County chapter of the NAACP. Greg, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you, Veronica. Good to be with you.
Well, Julian Bond, he really grew up with the civil rights movement. What stands out from his early years of being an activist and an organizer?
Well, I think what stands out is he captured a moment of courage. At that time and in this country's history, particularly in the South, which was so segregated along racial lines and in need of modernization in terms of civil rights, Julian was one of those who probably didn't intend to be a leader, but was propelled into that position. And then, of course, I think he took it on his shoulder, and over the long journey of his life, he has just been impeccable in terms of standing up for justice and equality.
Well, for someone who stood up in many turbulent times, as you said, his calm demeanor has been noted a lot. Ambassador Andrew Young, who is a member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference during the Civil Rights Movement, had this to say about Julian Bond over the weekend.
When everybody else would be getting all worked up, I could find in Julian, a cool, serious analysis of what was going on.
What can you tell us just about the way that Julian Bond was, his demeanor, and how he approached things?
Well, I think if I were to summarize his character on one level, it would be strength through poise. And the two times that I met him, once I was in an audience here at UW-Madison's campus and just listened at his words and how they were aligned, the points he made, and how they stuck with you and had meaningful thought. And I did meet him and chatted very briefly at the Edgewood event this past March and purchased a book, his latest book, that he had worked on, Black Leaders on Leadership. And I was introduced as a local chapter president of Dane County NAACP, and he just shook my hand and he just said, "We have to move forward." And that's all he needed to say after an inspiring presentation. So I think for me, it was, his stature was not that threatening, but his words were so strong. And that's what motivated a lot of people and inspired many in my generation.
Now, I read that in his later years, Bond said he was no longer opposed to violence. He said it was hard to separate history from violence in that context working together. What do you make of that change?
Well, I guess a couple of things come to mind, I think, when I think about the evolution of Julian. And let me be clear that when we say Julian, it is a term of endearment. I think when we all, my age and my generation, he is endeared for what he did. But I think when you think about that statement, I first go to the documentary Eyes on the Prize, and I think that was one where I would watch it before I had kids, and then when kids came along, we made it a point to watch it, and I think what they noticed was that violence had been perpetrated on African Americans, particularly in the pursuit of civil rights. So while it was directed at African Americans, and as we move forward in this time, we see that such violence is still problematic in many of our communities. And I think what my takeaway is that he may not be opposed to it, but he may not utilize it as a tool, because I think when I go back to his relationship with Dr. King and SNCC, a Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, they were all about standing up, bringing pressure and bringing points to bear on issues that were marginalizing a great, great number of American citizens. So I think it was an evolutionary statement, but I think for him, he understood the fact that that we were fighting for rights for all, and that to get to a true anti-racism movement, it was going to require a lot of different tools. But I don't think it was espousing the use of violence.
We're talking to Greg Jones now, president of the Dane County NAACP, talking about the death this weekend of civil rights leader Julian Bond. You mentioned his relationship with Dr. King. What was that relationship like?
Well, as I understand it, I was not there, but I do think that he was considered one of the lieutenants. I think he provided a great deal of connections and relationship from SNCC to other civil rights movements and organizations. And together, I think that they propelled different segments of the African-American community to get involved. Because I do think Dr. King had contact and influence with the larger groups, maybe the African-American churches and other faith-based organizations and churches. And I think what Julian was doing was in the streets, whether he was involved in registering voters, whether he was involved in sit-ins, and that could have been in lunchrooms, bus stations. And those things came together to create a much broader civil rights movement and momentum behind the movement. So I think they had a working relationship, quite positive. I haven't done a lot of research on it, but it seems to me that, from what I am aware, that collaboratively with all of the groups, they were able to be successful and move that Civil Rights Act and amendment forward.
Now, Julian Bond spoke in Madison in March of last year, just 1 week after the shooting of Tony Robinson by a Madison police officer. What was it like for the African-American community to have such a well-respected, such an influential leader here right after that tragedy?
Well, I think whenever we hear the name Julian Bond is going to be in our community, what happens is that we know that that the community or the entity that brings him here or brought him here has an interest in seeking sustained justice and equality on some level. So when you bring a person in of that stature and of that history, he brings a message that is mostly most often relevant to the community. So when he was here and he gave his presentation and we met him afterwards and talked with him, you could just sense that on the one hand it seemed surreal to be so close to a person who had fought the fight and who had walked the walk, and for so many years provided leadership to the largest civil rights organization, which was the National NAACP Board of Directors. So we know that for a person to become real in your eyes by touch and feel, you're somewhat humble, but you're also inspired, because you know that that individual had a vision throughout his life, starting in those early years and continuing to now, that he wanted to make a difference for all people.
Now, Julian was a witness to the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement, and he saw it take off over this past year. Do you have any idea what he thought about that and how he sort of placed it in the context of history alongside maybe the civil rights movement?
Well, I'm sure that there had to be a moment of reflection. I'm sure that if he went back to his early years, he thought about SNCC and how those young people stood up or sat down to raise a light or to shine a light on the issues of the day. And I think he probably understood that that the Black Lives Matter, and in Madison, the Young, Gifted, and Black, that they are playing a critical role in raising issues, opening up discussion, and lending themselves to make the kind of changes that were needed and necessary back when Julian was younger.
Now, just on the human side, he was apparently a poet, too. Did you know that about him?
Oh, not necessarily a poet, but I think I can understand that. He was a great orator, in my opinion. So,
what did you like about the way he spoke?
Excuse me. Got a little cough. For me, he had a pleasant style, a communication style that was effective. It was effective in laying out an issue, describing options to address it, and then letting you somewhat conclude along with his oration or his speech that the right action or the correct action was what he had proposed or would be proposing. So I always found, either in reading his books or listening at him, that Julian utilized very effective communication skills. And that just kind of makes me bounce back to when he was communications director of SNCC, and what he would do, at least from what I read, is he was very instrumental in getting the word out about activities and events. He understood the relationship between broadcast media, I believe, and what was happening in the field or in the cities or in the lunch counters, and that drew attention and provided some coverage of those events and probably led to some safer outcomes for individuals participating in those events.
And, Greg, what has the civil rights movement lost with one of its elders, Julian Bond, one of its witnesses and participants in history?
Well, I think on a personal level, I think when you lose an individual like that who was so important and such an important part for so many years, I don't know if you can replace that. But I think what you hope for is that the legacy and influence of an individual's presence during that movement has inspired individuals and has transpired the movement to be much, much broader and bring in different people who can continue it. I think what I want to see, and I think what will happen, is we will see a continuation of the movement. And I think that movement, at least I'm speaking from Dane County and our role here in NAACP, and I know other groups that are interested in civil rights, social justice, equality, I think what you'll see is a much more sustained approach, because the issues, structural and systematic, that exist now, that marginalize people and certainly discriminatory in the face, whether it's voting restrictions or voting redistricting, those kind of issues now are going to require people to be much more aware of them, much more knowledgeable of them, and much more proactive in terms of addressing them. So I think what that movement has done, whether I think about John Lewis, Martin Luther King, Foreman, and all of the great stewards who were there, that it's now people, me and younger, who would be in a position to say, we must carry on the legacy because the flame of the torch, must stay alive.
Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Greg Jones, president of the Dane County chapter of the NAACP.